Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed?
Can I make my site softer?
Can I make my site firmer?
Can we sleep cooler?
Sleep Number does that. Cools up to 8 times faster and lets you choose your ideal comfort on either side. Your Sleep Number setting. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store and online. And now, the more you buy, the more you save on beds, bases, and more. Limited time. For J.D. Power 2025 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Check it out at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com today.
OpenAI and Sam Altman are making headlines again. So OpenAI CEO Sam Altman has announced that he is or has been in discussions to raise $7 trillion to do his new chips startup and chips kind of manufacturing plans. Now, all of this apparently is because he sees a future where we're going to be super short on chips. We're going to need way more than we currently have. But like, to bring this into perspective, I believe $7 trillion is like 13% of the globe's GDP, okay? Like the entire globe, every country in the world gave 13% of their GDP to him, then we'd have $7 trillion. This is an insane number. Jamie, what's your take on this?
I mean, it seems a little lofty to me, honestly. I talked about this in a previous podcast, but I feel like the average person having an AI-capable chip, you know, in their phone is not 100% necessary or even, you know, necessary at all, really, because we have the internet. You know, we have servers. We can talk to supercomputers and have to wait, you know, 5 seconds to get our results. I think generally most people are going to be happy with that. You know, I don't see maybe I'm acting like a dinosaur, but I don't really see the real need unless you are, you know, a creator or a business person using AI a lot, then you maybe want to upgrade your phone to get the AI chip. I just don't see it as something that everyone needs. But what are your thoughts?
Well, my first thought is that I saw a lot of memes on Twitter where it was like venture capitalists and they're like, "We love you, Sam. Like, ask us for anything and we'll give it to you. Like, what if you're raising, just let us know. Why are you the money?" And he's like, "How much are you raising?" He's like, $7 trillion. And they're all like tears running down their eyes. Like, come on. So obviously I think that, yeah, the number is astronomical. It's insane. I think if he could pull it off, like, kudos to him for being, you know, the trillionaire of the world. I don't know if he's going to be able to get the $7 trillion. I also believe you could make some pretty amazing, massive companies without $7 trillion. Like, NVIDIA's entire market cap. This is a well-established company. It's been around for a very long time. It is the number one company selling these AI chips that is completely bottlenecked and everyone wants them and will buy as many as they produce. Their entire market cap is like $1.8 trillion. So he's raising more money than, like, you know, he's raising more than like 3.5 NVIDIA's. And that's just like cash that could be used to build the company whose market cap could be like 100x that or 10x that or whatever. So it's like, yeah, I think it's a little bit insane. I'm sure he'll raise a lot of money and do an amazing chip company. I don't know if he's going to get, I don't think it's possible. And maybe I'm like the guys that all say Elon Musk, you know, doing Tesla was impossible. I don't think it's possible to raise $7 trillion.
Yeah. And I mean, at that point he would become, in my mind, kind of like the villain, like the super genius Lex Luthor character. I mean, like, yeah. You've already seen the videos. I'm sure most of you listening have seen the cobalt mines where it's like people with pickaxes digging through in these like terrible working conditions. You know, if he has $7 trillion, you know, basically you're stopping at nothing at that point to get every last chunk of metal out of the earth that you need. And I could see that easily turning into like a supervillain type situation. You know,
yeah.
You know, Elon Musk can pretty much, he can do whatever he wants. You know, fortunately, he hasn't done anything too heinous yet, at least that I know of, but he could. And then, you know, how much more times wealth is this than even that? It's crazy, but...
Yeah, wild. Absolutely wild. I think if you get $7 trillion, you just automatically get entered into supervillain status.
Yeah.
But I don't know. okay, so this is the reason I wanted to bring this up, obviously this is like big news. It's huge. He's talking to like Saudi Arabia's Sovereign Wealth Fund to try to get investments and like a lot of governments, which is what's interesting to me. And I think pretty much what he wants to do is take Taiwan Semiconductor Company, who right now is like headquartered in Taiwan, who obviously has some geopolitical issues with China threatening to invade and take over the country. Well, I mean, they say they own them already. So there's obviously some big issues there. And so Taiwan Semiconductor Company is actually branching out and building manufacturing hubs other places. For example, here in Arizona where I live, there's a huge Taiwan Semiconductor Company manufacturing facility that they're building here. We've had Intel here for a long time, but now they're building that because they, I think, essentially need to diversify their portfolio for the inevitable Chinese invasion that will probably happen soon. I could say that, like, I hope it doesn't, but uncontroversially, I think it probably will. So whenever that happens, I think they're diversifying their portfolio. Now, it looks like Sam Altman sees this opportunity of Taiwan Semiconductor Company needing to diversify a bit and is like, hey, let's partner up. We'll build these chip manufacturing fabs all over the world. And he's going to try to get government grants and money from governments to build this out and do this. Now, that's a really smart business strategy. So there's a possibility he can make some big plays there. I'll be very curious to see how that goes. If he can manage to like navigate the regulatory environment of the world, I will be blown away working with that many governments and that much money. That would be wild. Absolutely wild. I just think it's funny when you have, like, for example, a company like Adobe can't even acquire Figma without it getting shut down by a watchdog regulatory group in like the UK, and somehow that's blocking an American company from acquiring an American company. I'll be blown away if he can manage, you know, getting government money from all the governments of the world, $7 trillion in chips. Okay, the reason I brought this up, I know I was saying this earlier and I got sidetracked, is I think there are some amazing ways for you to make money off of this whole thing. $7 trillion is an unfathomably absurd amount of money. And what that signals to me is if we're willing to spend, or someone is even thinking about spending, and we're already, NVIDIA's got a $2 trillion market cap almost, but if they're looking to raise $7 trillion, chips is a freaking hot area that will, I think, be bloated, bubble-ish, prices will be huge. They're already very at a huge premium. So I think there's a ton of money there. I have a couple ideas, but I'd be curious off the top of your head, Jamie, how could the average person listening to this today, how could they benefit or make money from this ecosystem and so much money being dumped into chips?
Oh, man. You know, honestly, I was hoping to hear what you have to say, because I don't really, I mean, the only thing, you know, I could think of would be trying to invest in some of these metals that they're trying to mine. I don't know, man. What do you got?
Okay. That's a great idea. A completely different direction than I was thinking of. As you know, I'm not like a massive stock market investor. That's not my like strength. My strength is content. And I think there are some huge content opportunities. Right now, of course, last year in February, it's been about a year now since I started the AI Chat podcast, my main podcast. And I had over 2 million listens on the episodes of that podcast. It has brought me like so much. It's been amazing. So, and that was because AI was so hot. Everyone was talking about it. You can get AI sponsors. You can get like, you can make money from all sorts of different courses, all sorts of different things you can make money from in that field. And I saw lots of my friends making, I had someone that made like 25 grand from a sponsorship that Adobe did with him to make 2 TikToks on his AI TikTok channel that he started last year. So
that's insane.
Wild. Yeah. Wild stuff. I think we're going to see this one way or another with chips. And I think there's a huge opportunity for people to create blogs, to create TikTok accounts, to create podcasts, any sort of media content that talks about like the best type of chips, how to use chips, how to train chips, how to buy chips, how to source them, like comparing this chip versus that chip from this company versus that company. Like it's its own industry and niche. And I think there's so much opportunity. Like if trillions of dollars are being spent there, there's so much opportunity to make money. And the reason that I know that this is probably people will criticize me or say like, I don't know, this is dumb or whatever, but this is my opinion. When you, I remember my background's in marketing, and I remember taking some sort of marketing or advertising course or something in college. And there's this case study that always stood out to me that was like, they said, if you go to buy a product, like let's say a camera from Amazon, they'll always offer you upsells. Like, oh, buy a tripod and a camera case and like lens protectors and an extra lens or whatever. They'll always try to sell you upsells that are worth 30% the value of the original product. Like more than 30% is probably too much, but 30% seemed to be a sweet spot. Like if you spend $1,000 on a camera, you're probably willing to spend $300 on like protective gear and tripods and like different like accessories for your camera, right? And anything more than that, it's like, it's too much. Like, I don't want to spend half the price. So this is actually played out in real time. One other example is with the iPhone. I have apps, right? Android and iOS apps. And I make way more money from iPhone users than from Android. And I think a big part of that is because if you are willing to spend $1,000 or $1,500 on your phone, you will theoretically spend 30% of that on accessories and apps and like supplemental things for the phone. And so if you're going to go spend like, you know, $400 on an Android that's cheap, you're going to spend a fraction of that on the apps and accessories. If you're going to spend $1,500 on an iPhone, you're going to spend, you know, four or five times as much on the accessories. And so I actually saw that play out with my app SelfPause that I created, the number one AI life coach. I make like maybe a third of the money on Android and two thirds on iOS. And I have the exact same marketing, like nothing has changed between the two platforms. So all that to say, if we're going to look at spending $7 trillion on these chips, there is a percentage of that that is going to be spent on education and employees and like the supplementary stuff to the physical product of a chip.
That's interesting. That's interesting. Because like when it comes to buying Apple products, for example, because of my background in video editing, I do, you know, when it's the option between the i5 or the i7 chip, I choose, you know, the i7, and I'm willing to pay that money because of the speed and time it saves me. So I think the challenge is to how do you educate the consumer, you know, the value in these chips, you know, what are they actually providing, you know, kind of like back to the talk about like, does everyone really need an AI capable chip in their phone? Like, what are the use cases for it? So I think that's going to be the challenge for these companies, you know, to get the demand up for their supply. Like if he wants to spend $7 trillion, you know, mining stuff, what is the actual use case? And like, does everyone need one in their pocket,
that,
you know?
Yes. Okay. I think that you bring up an amazing point, and I think maybe this is the difference in some like the perspectives of like our points we're making. There's the question of why does he need $7 trillion to make all these chips? Like, why does he need all these chips? One thing that a lot of people are saying is like, every computer needs to be an AI computer and every phone needs to be an AI phone. And you're like, is that necessary? I agree with you. I don't know if that's necessary. The other argument that I've also seen people making on posting about on X is that they're saying maybe they have some major breakthroughs in AI over OpenAI with like GPT-5 and its capabilities, or 6 and 7 and what they're looking at on the roadmap, that they're seeing a world where not just to have it on your phone or your computer, but like just in the data centers alone, in order to compute at these like insane levels of AI, that they need all of these chips to be able to do that. And that's going to make like the AI super genius, intelligent, smart, and it's going to power all of the Tesla humanoid robots that roam the streets and are your housekeeper in your house, like all the insanity they're planning. So that's where I think like maybe they're going with this, because obviously he has all the insider information of what OpenAI is developing. And so I think, no, you know, this is just my own opinion, random hunch. I think they've made some big breakthroughs in OpenAI, and they're like, we could do this insanely capable AI, but we need way more chips and way more energy, because he's also investing in a lot of like nuclear fission startups and stuff. So yeah, that's where I think it might be coming from. But any way you want to cut it, when that much money is flowing through an ecosystem, I think there's a lot of money that can be made, not just to consumers, but like to businesses. So like, why your company needs to use the latest H100 from NVIDIA to train a model off of your data to do like, everyone needs their own AI model, right? Like,
yeah, that's a good point. That I hadn't considered that. Like, like a data center or a big company, they're going to have like a massive, insane supercomputer to be able to service all the people who do want to use and access AI. So yeah, that's a good point.
It's going to be insane. I think there's going to be so many opportunities for money. Of course, we can come up with like random things we think of off the top of our head. But at the end of the day, really what I think are like big takeaway from this that we're trying to pass on to everyone is like, there's a ton of money going into this industry. Like, keep your eyes open, look for opportunities, whether that's investing in the metals that are being used for this, do your own research, whether that's investing or putting time into building out content within the space. There's a lot of money, and you know, keep your eyes open, because when a lot of money like this is being raised, moved, spent, there's a lot that can be made in the process as well.
Yeah, absolutely. It's just another signal that AI is the future, and Whether or not you are investing in the technology itself or using it, there's a lot of money to be made. So thanks for listening, guys. If you found this valuable or informative or interesting at all, please take the time to review us over on Apple or wherever you get your podcast. We really appreciate it. And thanks for listening.